You're right, Brother Eddie's coming. Let me just read that last verse. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love, in that story so tender, stay, let me weep while you whisper. Love paid the ransom for me. Brother Eddie.
Thank you. Good evening. Now, if you did not receive one of the outlines, slip up your hand. Okay, everyone has an outline. Now, you might think, now, what is this, Brother Schwartz? 5 pages. This is not just for tonight, is it? No, this will be for the Tuesday nights of this month. And as you can see, from the title of this study, it is Christ, Prophet, Priest, and King. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples in the upper room that when the Holy Spirit would come after he was glorified, that the Holy Spirit would lead the disciples, would lead believers into all truth. He said he's going to bring things to your remembrance. That would take us to the Gospels. He's going to lead you and guide you into all truth, into the epistles. He will show you things to come. That takes us to the Revelation. And the Lord Jesus said he will take the things of mine and show them unto you. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God is to make Christ known to us. Initially, to reveal to us our need of him as our Savior. And after that, his ongoing ministry is to reveal to us the all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior said, as it is recorded in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Let me ask, how much do you know about the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't ask that to shame you, but just to cause you to think. How long have you been saved? How long have I been saved? How much do we know about this one who is our Lord and Savior? This one that we sing about, who's altogether lovely. And we sing, "He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need." How much do we know about him? Well, this is quite a study. And it requires looking at Scripture, comparing Scripture with Scripture. I had a brother, an elder, in a meeting to say to me on one occasion, "Why do you have us turn to so many Scriptures? Why not just take a verse and read it and then preach like others do?" Well, we are to study the Word. The way that we are approved of God is by the study of the Word, so that we can rightly divide the Word. So I want us to think about our Lord Jesus Christ on these Tuesday nights for this month, as Prophet, Priest, and King. Now, you will see on some of the pages of the outline, it says Passing the Mantle, and it's dated 1996. I developed this outline. Most of it is not original, but I developed this outline back when I had the responsibility of conducting this seminar, Passing the Mantle, over a long weekend. And so I share it with you while I'm here on these Tuesday nights. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12. Matthew, chapter 12. And I warn you, we will be using our Bibles. And you have the outline there if you want to just jot some of the references down that I will have you turn to or that I will refer to. I trust you will use this outline in your own personal study and devotion. I do not say this boastingly, but there is quite a bit here on these pages. And I believe if you will carefully go over this material and with God's help to digest it, you will be enriched spiritually as you learn more about our wonderful Lord and Savior as prophet, priest, and king. Now, the Lord Jesus made some startling statements when he was here. So much so that when you read Matthew chapter 12 and compare that with Mark's Gospel chapter 2, you will see that those who heard him say these things thought he was beside himself. They actually did. And they said, in essence, it's time for you to go home. Your mother and your brethren are without. And it seems that they had come to take him home, thinking it was just a little too much for him. Maybe he was under some stress and strain and said some startling things. They'd better take him home. And the Lord Jesus said, "Who is my mother? And who are my brethren?" There were those who heard him say the words that we're going to read, some of them, and they thought he was beside himself. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, look at verse 6. "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple." Can you imagine a man making a statement like that? That temple was ordained of God. Everything connected with that temple was ordained of God. And when the Lord Jesus said, in essence, "I am greater than the temple," that included the thought, "I am greater than the priesthood." What a statement. Look to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 41. The Lord Jesus went on to say, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonas," that is the prophet Jonah, "and behold, a greater than Jonah is here." Think of it. The Lord Jesus Christ reached back into Jewish history and he brought forth one of the greatest prophets. And he said, "Behold, a greater than Jonah is here. I'm greater than Jonah." He's greater than all the prophets. What a statement. Look at verse 42. "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." And the Lord Jesus is reaching back into Jewish history once again, and he's bringing forth the wisest king. And he said, "I am greater than Solomon. I'm greater than the temple," which includes, "I'm greater than the priesthood. I am greater than Jonah, the prophet. I am greater than Solomon, the king, because our Lord Jesus Christ is prophet, priest, and king." You might not realize the importance of that statement and of those titles. Since 9/11, we have been exposed to the Muslim world perhaps as never before. And we are seeing something and learning more about the Muslim world. They believe in Allah, their name for God, and maybe I should say their God. And they believe in Mohammed, his prophet. Now, just what does that mean? The Quran is made up about 75% of the Bible. The Muslims believe that God gave the original revelation. They don't believe in progressive revelation, as I said. We do. But they believe that God gave his revelation to Adam and then to the prophets of Old Testament scripture, and then to Jesus in New Testament days. But they believe that that revelation that God had given to these ones, and they believe in Moses and the prophets of Old Testament scripture, they believe Jesus was a prophet of New Testament days, but they believe the revelation that God gave to these ones in the Old Testament days was corrupted. That revelation was corrupted by subtractions, by additions, by alterations, by substitutions, I presume in the Jews' favor. And so they say, they believe that it was necessary for God to give his revelation one more time. And this he did to Muhammad. And whoever does not submit, and that is what the term Muslim means, to submit. Those who do not submit to the revelation of God that he's given one more time, the last time, given it to Muhammad, those who do not submit to it are unbelievers, and they are to be cut off. And they believe that Muhammad supersedes the prophet Jesus, since the revelation given to Jesus was corrupted, the one given to Muhammad was not. And so they say Muhammad supersedes Jesus, he came after Jesus. They believe in the virgin birth. I have a Quran. I've read it. But they do not believe that Jesus is God. Listen, dear friends, there is only one in all of God's universe who can claim all three titles of prophet, priest, and king. And he is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the only one. No one else can claim all titles. They speak about the prophet Muhammad. But we speak about the Lord Jesus Christ, who is prophet, priest, and king. And in all things he is to have preeminence. Now, what I am sharing with you, I have condensed for the most part and put on your outline. But you can read that and go over it in your private study. When God made Adam, God had said, and this is the Holy Trinity taking counsel together, Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." And given to Adam was dominion over the works of God. So when God made Adam, Adam was created a prophet. Now, by immediate intuition and direct revelation, Adam knew the mind and will of God. So when Adam was created, he was created a prophet. When God made Adam, Adam was created a priest. Because of his sinless state, he had the right to stand before God in intimate relationship. He was created a priest. When Adam was created, God created him as a king. God made him a little lower than the angels, crowning him with glory and honor. and gave him to have dominion over the works of his hands. So Adam was created prophet, priest, and king. Now when he sinned, when he disobeyed God, when he fell, he plunged himself and all of his posterity into sin and under its consequences. And in that fall, he ceased to be a prophet. In fact, from that moment on, he needed someone to teach him the content of the mind and will of God. He needed a prophet. When Adam fell, he ceased to be a priest before God. In fact, from that moment, he needed a mediator to stand between himself and an offended God, someone who would intercede on his behalf. When Adam fell, he ceased to be a king. That scepter of rule was taken from him. By one act of disobedience, he lost his crown of dominion and needed someone to reign over his life and regain for him that scepter. So he ceased to be a prophet, a priest, and a king. Now, I'm sure you know that the first reference to the coming Messiah is Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. God gave this promise of this coming one, the seed of the woman. Now, to prepare the hearts and lives of sinful people for this one who would come, this one who is the second man but the last Adam, 1 Corinthians 15. For this last Adam to come, the Messiah, the Savior, God prepared the hearts of men and women over the Old Testament scriptures, over those years, he prepared their hearts for this coming one. How did he prepare them? He raised up a succession of prophets. Men who, because of their special gifts, were God's mouthpieces to speak to men the mind and will of God. God raised up a succession of prophets. The primary function of a prophet was to reveal the mind and will of God. He raised up a family of priests in preparation for the coming one. A family of priests, men who, because of their special sanctification, were God's representatives to the people. And at the same time, they were the representatives of the people in the presence of God. So the primary function of a priest was to represent. The primary function of a prophet was to reveal. God not only raised up a succession of prophets and a family of priests, but he raised up a race of kings. Men who, because of their special choice, were God's rulers over the people. God raised up kings to rule the people and to regulate their lives in connection with Almighty God or in relationship to God. And so the Old Testament is a record of how these classes of men chosen by God performed their respective offices. However, though these prophets came to reveal, the priests were sent or raised up to represent, and the kings were used to rule and to regulate their lives, there was not one prophet, one priest, or one king of whom God could say, in every way, approved of God. Now, Malachi reminds us in chapter 2, verse 15, that God sought a godly seed. But there was not one prophet, priest, or king upon whom the Holy Spirit of God could rest and remain. Because not one measured up in every way to God's perfect standard. Not one approved holy of God until the Lord Jesus Christ came, who is prophet, priest, and king. And Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, a man approved of God. Now we are thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ as prophet tonight. He claimed to be greater than the temple, which includes the thought he's greater than the priest, greater than Jonah, which is to say he's greater than that outstanding Old Testament prophet, and he's greater than all the other prophets. Greater than Solomon the king, and greater than all the other kings. The Lord Jesus Christ is superior in every way. Now, when the prophet of God came and spoke, what he said was the word of God. I can remember as a boy, I might go out and say to my brother David, David, come on in the house. And he might say to me, who are you telling? Come on in the house. But when I went out and said, David, Dad said, come into the house. That made a difference. Now what I am saying is Dad's word. The Lord Jesus Christ is the word of God. John tells us, and these verses you can quote, in the beginning was the word, the Logos. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So when the prophet was sent by God, now there were those who claimed to be prophets, but there were scriptures to test them. And we're going to turn to one of them in just a minute or two. But there were ways of testing them as to whether or not they were prophets from God. But when the prophets of God spoke, it was the word of God speaking. That is, they spoke with authority from God himself. Now, the prophets of God fulfilled two functions in their ministry. Note them. They foretold future events. They not only foretold future events, they told forth God's message. Now, their overall purpose was twofold. To reveal the mind and will of God, and ultimately to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we read in Acts chapter 10 and verse 43, to him give all the prophets witness that through this man, whosoever will believe will have remission of sins. All the prophets witness of Christ, or witness to Christ. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 39, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And what does the rest of it say? And they are they which testify of me. The Lord Jesus Christ came as the prophet of God. He's the Word of God. John says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he also said in verse 18 of John chapter 1, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath declared him. The wording is, he hath told him out. He has manifested God. He is the Word of God. The writer of Hebrews tells us, and here again, you can quote this or quote at it pretty well. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past by the prophets, or to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son. And the original wording doesn't sound exactly right. Hath in these last days spoken unto us in Son. That is, God spoke. God made himself known. God revealed himself in the Old Testament days by the prophets. He spoke prophet-wise in the Old Testament days, at the end of which he spoke son-wise. It sounds paradoxical, I guess is the word. It sounds paradoxical to say that in the Old Testament days, God revealed something of himself by using many words, at the end of which he revealed himself completely by using one word. That sounds paradoxical, but that's exactly the way it was and is. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He is the writer of Hebrews says, he is the outshining of the glory of God. He is the effulgence. He is the outshining of the glory of God. He's the Word of God. He said, I am the way, I am the truth. Not I speak the truth. He said, I am the truth. He is the Word of God. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Now, in the study of the Lord Jesus Christ as the prophet, we must go back to this key verse, because just as Daniel chapter 9 particularly is the backbone of prophecy, as David Barron said, even so, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 18, make up the backbone of prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ as the Word of God, as the prophet of God. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. This is what Moses said. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. And note the word prophet is with a capital P. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, said Moses. Unto him shall ye hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. This is the key portion concerning the Lord Jesus Christ as the prophet. Now look at your outline And this is on page 2. Look to page 2 of your outline. Now, is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 18, a reference to Christ? Now, that is a good question. And it would be debated by the Jewish scholars, that is, so far as they are concerned. Now, we would say as to Christ or the Messiah, is Deuteronomy 18 a reference to the Messiah, to Christ, to the Anointed One? And here are some arguments which favor the reference to Christ. Hinchinbrenner and some of you Bible students, you might read some of the old study books, and every once in a while you'll come across this name, Hinchinbrenner. I was amazed when in New Orleans on one occasion in a Christian bookstore I ran across a reprint of his big book on Christology of the Old Testament. What a treasure. Ernst Wilhelm Hinchinbrenner was one of the greatest of Lutheran theologians of yesteryear. And he points out that it can be satisfactorily proved that by the older Jewish expositors that Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 18, is referring to the coming Messiah. But now we can go into the New Testament scriptures and see that that is so. And let's look at a few scriptures. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 1. And here is where we need our Bibles, and we need this exercise. We need to compare scripture with scripture. John, chapter 1, look at verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. It seems to be quite clear that Deuteronomy chapter 18 is included in this verse. We have found him of whom Moses spoke. Turn on over to John's Gospel chapter 6 while we're in this book. Look at verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet. And I want you to note the definite article here. Not simply a prophet, but that prophet. They said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When they saw the miracle that Jesus performed, they were convinced that this is the prophet that Moses spoke about in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. So, it is authorized by tradition. Tradition says Deuteronomy chapter 18 is a reference to Christ, the coming Messiah, who is prophet like Moses, but superior to Moses. And the reference of the prophecy to the Messiah rests on the sure evidence of the New Testament. Are you still in John's Gospel? I'm not, but let me go back there. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 5. John, chapter 5. And come down to verse 46. The Lord Jesus said to those that day, For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Is Deuteronomy chapter 18, this one who's going to be raised up like Moses, a prophet of God? Is that a reference to the Messiah? The Lord Jesus said, Moses wrote of me. You remember in Luke chapter 24, I'll not turn that portion, you're familiar with it. The Lord Jesus dealt with those two disciples on the Emmaus Road, and he gave to them a Bible reading, which I'm sure they never forgot. He opened unto them the Scriptures. Now, just the Old Testament Scriptures, that's all they had. He opened unto them the Scriptures, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, expounding unto them the things concerning himself. Because, as he had said, they are they which testify of me. You're in John chapter 6, are you? Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. And come down to verse 22. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. This is what Peter said, reminding the people that Moses had said, you're to hear this prophet. You remember when the Lord Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration? There appeared with the Lord, there in the presence of those privileged disciples, there appeared two Old Testament characters. You remember who they were? Moses and Elijah. One who represented the law. They both were prophets, but one represented the law, and I'll say the other represented the prophets. And the Lord Jesus is superior to both. To him give all the prophets witness. And Romans 10 and 4, the Lord Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. So, the reference of the prophecy to the Messiah rests on the sure evidence of New Testament Scripture. And it's interesting, when on the Mount of Transfiguration, this is Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, when Peter had said, you know, he was so overwhelmed with all of this, he wanted to say something. Oh, he said, let's build three tabernacles here, one for you, Lord, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And a cloud overshadowed them, and God spoke from heaven, and he said, this is my beloved Son. And what are the next two words? Hear him. Why? Because he is the prophet who fulfills all prophets and prophecy. He is the Word of God. God spoke prophet-wise in the Old Testament days, but he has spoken son-wise in New Testament days. And there is internal evidence that Deuteronomy chapter 18 relates to the Lord Jesus Christ. The question arises, was Moses talking about an individual prophet? Or was he talking about a collective body of prophets? Now bear with me. I want you to look at two more scriptures. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Come down to verse 13. Matthew chapter 11. And verse 13, well, let's take verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets, now note this is a key verse. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John the Baptist, who was a forerunner of Christ. So here is a verse that says all of the prophets and the law were until Christ came. Because he's greater than both. He's greater than both. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And let's break in at verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. You remember the Lord Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He said, how often would I have gathered you? And we would say, well, wait a minute, how often? When did he speak to them in the past? Through the prophets. That's when he spoke. Because those prophets spoke as with the authority of God because the Spirit of Christ was with them. And they spoke until Christ came. And he is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. Let me close with this. I have just a couple of minutes. And we'll pick this up next Tuesday night, God willing. The Lord Jesus said in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter. It's like saying A and Z or Z. He's saying, in essence, I'm the alphabet. I am the Word of God. I came to reveal God. I'm the first and the last. I am the alphabet. What are your needs? Spell it out. Because God has promised to supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so he says, I'm the alphabet. I am the prophet of God. I'm the Word of God. What is your need? All right. Let's draw from the alphabet. Lord, I need encouragement. E-N-C-O-U, and we spell it out. And the Lord would say, I'm the alphabet. Spell it out. I'm the all-sufficient one. What is your need tonight, fellow believer? Isn't it wonderful to know that this one who came to reveal God to us has promised never to leave us nor forsake us? And he's promised to meet our needs. We need to lay hold upon Christ. We need to allow the Holy Spirit of God to have his way with us, to minister Christ to us, to make Christ known to us. We are to learn of him because to know him is to love him. And the way we cultivate the love for Christ is to learn more about him. To know him is to love him, and to love him is to serve him. What are our needs tonight? Spell it out. He's the alphabet. He's the revealer of God. And I am so glad I'm able to say he is my Lord and Savior. Aren't you? Let's look in our redemption books. I wrote the number down and can't find it. More about Jesus, 432. 432. We're going to sing just two stanzas. The first stanza and the third stanza. More about Jesus in his word. Holding communion with my Lord. Hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus. May this be our prayer. The first and third stanzas, and then we will dismiss.